The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
Hello, everyone. Everyone listening, everyone watching later on too. We're beginning quite excited about how we're getting new people joining in and watching the show, whether it be live or via the podcast. So thank you for that. Maybe I'm dropping you in this, Daniel. I should have discussed it in our green room. But we did run a poll, the June poll, and we did get some mixed responses about our new format.
Mixed responses sounds, it gives the implication that there's negative and positive, right? That was not the intention, nor was it really the responses. I mean, I think for the most part, our responses to the June poll were constructive. And what I mean by constructive is, you know, giving feedback that is not negative in nature or necessarily also, you know, not overly positive with no merit or no meat to it. We got some constructive things. But I think there is some indications as to preferences. However, I will agree with you when you say mixed, as it is mixed in some of the responses. Of the most part of our poll was focused on, should we cover every message in the message center? Or should we pick out items that are pretty important and cover them in a little more depth? And then how long should our show be? You know, should it be 30 minutes is what we've been trying to keep to. We've been somewhat successful. Should it be 45 minutes? Should it be an hour? Should it be, you know, whatever? So getting some input on there. So that has been mixed as well, but that's okay. We really wanted to get your input. So this is your last chance. We're going to close it here in the next couple of days. So those that are watching live here, our show, or catching it on the recording on the podcast, please go right now. It's okay if you step away and go do it right now, to just hit pause and go to the link so that we can messagecenter.show/June poll. That's JunePoll, and fill that out real quick. It's very quick. It will take you less than 5 minutes, probably just a couple of minutes. We'd love to hear from you, because what we intend on doing is then next week opening it up to everybody. And really getting an idea from the public, and maybe not necessarily those that actually watch right now, so, or listen to the podcast right now. So we'd like to put some emphasis on those who actually have watched our show even just once, or listened to the podcast even just once, and get your input before we get those that are, you know, that maybe have never watched our shows. And we put some more emphasis on those that are paying attention. So messagecenter.show/June poll. Please do that now or within the next few moments, because we'll close that pretty soon this week.
Very good. Yeah. And we are definitely interested in how we can serve our audience better. Everyone remembers the origins of the show, and that we were doing it for ourselves to kind of, it was a discipline so that we made sure we were looking at the message center, and then it's about, you know, sharing those thoughts and opinions with the community and getting that feedback. So on with our first one. We're actually going to start with a headline this week too.
And our headline this week is, acronym answers are now available with Microsoft Search in SharePoint. This is MC216995. Currently, you have the ability to utilize Microsoft Search with Bing to surface acronyms. And what are acronyms? Acronyms, I think by definition, are shortcuts for phrases that typically spell out something, but it doesn't have to be. So for your information, FYI, that doesn't really spell out something, but that's how people utilize a shortcut for a phrase. And so within organizations, this is used a lot. I know Microsoft uses it way too frequently and has acronyms that mean different things, but the same acronym. So you have to take context in consideration. But the every organization has it. I have set up many of dictionaries of acronyms. And in fact, one of my first ones was based upon the Microsoft SharePoint Wiki. And it's actually one of the only times that I found Wiki to be fabulous. A lot of time I've used the Wiki experience in SharePoint frequently, but this particular case was fabulous because you could build out a dictionary of terms and phrases and acronyms and so forth, so that not only was it searchable, but your users could go and say, oh, there's that acronym. What does that mean? They click on it. It takes them to the new page. It gives them a lot of context, outside resources, whatever. I did this for a shipping company, actually, that had, and it was a maritime shipping company. And so there's a lot of acronyms from both from the shipping industry, but also from the vessels, boats, maritime type of acronyms, and they all just mixed together. And it was very successful. So this one is, we can do this now. If you go to Microsoft Search in your admin center, you can set up acronyms. Actually, I find it, there's a missing, in the instructions in the link here, there's an instruction on how to get there. You go to settings, and then you click on Microsoft Search, and then it says click on acronyms, but you actually have to click on answers and then acronyms. But anyway.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, okay. I was going to ask.
Yeah. So currently it's available. If, you know, we've talked about this before, Microsoft Search with Bing. So if you're using Bing in your organization and people can find it. Now this will be coming to SharePoint, which means that I don't have to be searching in Bing. I can be in SharePoint doing search. So that's a great thing. I wanted to call out a couple of things here. With my lead up here, I hope I have emphasized it enough to say this is pretty good information, pretty cool. You know, you can think about healthcare. I mean, I'm not going to call out every industry because I think every industry could use this, especially think about onboarding. You know, your employees that have been there 5, 10, 30 years, they know these acronyms. They don't have to explain it. It just rolls off the tongue. What about that intern, or what about the new hire that has a lot of experience but is coming from a different industry and doesn't know anything about, you know, any of these acronyms? I think it's a great functionality, but I wanted to call out a couple of gotchas that I want you to be aware of with this functionality. First off, there's two ways of doing acronyms. One is kind of a published acronym, and that's what this is talking about, this functionality. And then there's this MIND, M-I-N-E-D, MIND acronyms. So let's talk about the acronyms that you go into the admin center and put in there. Mm-hmm. It takes up to 3 days for acronyms to show up.
So if I hit publish now, then my bad TLA joke won't be there for the rest of the organization for up to 3 days.
Correct. Okay. Up to 3 days for it to actually start showing up in search. So what that means is this requires planning. So acronyms that are MIND, meaning Microsoft Search is indexing content and finding information in your documents, in your emails, and it's finding that information to say, oh, there's an acronym and I can use this. Meaning, you know, you do a phrase and then in parentheses you put the acronym, right? Mm. So Search is looking at that going, oh, that's an acronym for that. Well, those acronyms that are mined from emails and documents could take up to 7 days to show up in Microsoft Search. Again, with this timing, I want to emphasize it requires planning, not only planning for what acronyms should we publish, right? And for most companies, this is going to be a long list. But it also requires planning to do it and then talk about it later once they start showing up. Meaning,
I've got a question about the mining.
You know, yeah.
So this is an AI process, and I guess it's also part of Project Cortex in a sense. It's something that, well, maybe the first instance of it coming in because it's a smart thing. It's going out and finding knowledge in the org. If it's mining it and it takes up to 7 days to appear, are we going to see it here in the acronym list as a somewhere to curate the acronyms before we publish them? We can curate the MIND acronyms beforehand?
There is no announcement on that, and there's no interaction here in the admin center for that at all. So if it's MIND, it doesn't seem to be a way to delete or remove those acronyms that are mined, as far as I can tell. Now, those in the chat, or maybe we can, you know, someone can ping us later once you're hearing this, can come back and correct us on this. But I don't see a way in the admin center to be able to do this.
Interesting. I know, given that it is becoming public, sometimes that frees up some of our friends that do get early access to this feature. So do feel free to chime in at some point. But that's cool.
Yep.
Good feature, though. Good feature, because it is about making that knowledge available to,
it
to
is.
The whole organization.
So it's they're targeting for targeted release mid-June, which we've already passed. Targeted release for those that are tenants, mid-June to early July, and then standard tenants late August to mid-September. So they're actually giving some buffer here between, and there's actually a few announcements this week that are doing this that I noticed that are releasing to targeted and then waiting a little while and then releasing to standard. It's, I actually like it, giving an ability to kind of pull back or change things before they go to standard if something goes wrong. So I think it's kind of cool.
It's also a good change from we're going to release this and then updating the message to say, actually, we're going to hold back because there's a lot of change. Yep. Yeah.
Right. Which all there right. are some this week. We talk about that every week. Are there some announcements? Yeah, there's some announcements that they've slowed down the release. They've slowed the roll for because of so much change. It does allow for that, and it won't interrupt the plans for communication to your users because they've put in a little bit of a gap. So I think it's fun. Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, the next one is a perfect example of ta-da, you have it. That's a 100 gigabyte file size of OneDrive and SharePoint MC217136. And yes, literally when it arrived in the message center, it says the feature is available now. And now, to be fair, it is something that they announced around Ignite last year, and they were planning to release it reasonably quickly, but had to hold back. And they do apologize, as you see in the message. We apologize that we did not communicate this ahead of the rollout. We're working to improve this in the future. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So we got that.
Yeah. The main thing is that you've got this ability now to upload a single file size of 100 gigabytes for OneDrive and SharePoint. Now, what I've been saying to my customers, kind of tongue-in-cheek, is great. Now you can put 10 100 gigabyte files in your OneDrive or a site collection. That's a big file, which then caused me to think, well, hey, what about that other feature called differential sync? Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah, and I went to look it up, and actually most of the top results are community posts about it, telling us about the feature. But that's where it definitely comes into play. Really important, because what are probably going to be traditionally 100 gigabyte files are your CAD files, your video files, and some of these larger media kind of files. And I know that differential sync is not mentioned at all in here, but I mean it could be in the documentation a bit lower. That's going to be important when working with files of this size, because they do say a little bit further in the message there, you know, consider updating your training, standard, stamp that, it's there on the message. But additionally, if your tenants have large files and they're not able to upload, we recommend just test with a few large files, and there might be some factors that impact this performance, such as bandwidth, location, and other network traffic. Differential sync is going to be really important, and they do recommend that OneDrive sync client is the way to get those files up there. Don't sit there and try and do it through your browser.
I think that plays into the differential sync, right? Mm. Is not only use the sync tool to get the file up there, but then you know, if you're going to be changing it, now you're right, those things, that's a huge file, right? I mean, that's what kind of files is that, and are you going to be able to do differential sync? If that's a Word document, you're in trouble. Because not because it won't sync, because yeah, it'll sync, but how are you going to open up a 100 gig file using Word, right? So that's probably not what we're talking about. We're probably talking media, right?
Yeah,
I would think media, file types from like drafters,
CAD drawings.
Yeah.
Maybe even like your 3D models and things like that too, which is another announcement a bit further along in that category. Yep. But yes, as you suggest, this is something that you'd want to use OneDrive Sync to get it up there and to leave it turned on so that you've got it files on demand and it's going to continue to sync changes. A bit like reestablishing that 50 gig mailbox that you might have, you know, getting that 50 gig cache to come down again. No one wants to sit there waiting for that. But anyway, it's available now. Enjoy. I think it's pretty clever, this differential sync, if it can change just the changed bits in a re-rendered video or republished CAD drawing. What have we got next, Daniel?
I don't know, Daryl.
SharePoint, lists, and libraries. Sticky columns in QuickEdit? Sticky columns?
Sticky columns. So this is fantastic, and I'm going to tell you why. But this is SharePoint list and library, sticky column in QuickEdit. This is MC217379. For anyone that has used wide list before, and what I mean by wide list, that means lots of columns, lots of metadata, or using columns that have wide data.
It's when one of these buttons on your mouse look really helpful. Scroll to the left or the right.
Right. Yes. So if anyone has used pictures, columns, might keep building on this to the point where you have to scroll, then you have seen, or you maybe list formatting, right? Doing some wonderful things there. It pushes it out. Well, if you scroll, then you lose context. What is it I'm looking at? And we've seen this in Excel too. You know, if you're in Excel and you have, you do those freeze panes, right? Because I don't know what I'm looking at. So what this is doing is giving the ability that when you scroll to the right, then the left far column is going to stay there. And that's great because you'll know which item that you're looking at the metadata for. This, I think, does have some impact on user experience, okay? And one is that you might not remember, is that you might need to rethink the way, I guess, that you're displaying your list data. For me, yes, for the most part, my list data, the title or the most important column that gives me information about the metadata, what is this about, is that far left one. However, it might not be. So for you, it may be something else. You may put a picture column, maybe your left one, or a status color, maybe your left one. Well, if that's your left column and that's going to freeze and you scroll over, all you're going to see is red, yellow, green, or X check mark. That won't give you any context as to what's going on. So you may need to rethink the way you do your lists if you run into this problem and you want to utilize this functionality in the way it's intended. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Now, we're talking about freezing that left column, the first sticky column. This is not, though, talking about sticky first rows, is it? If we were to scroll down... So that still stays there, doesn't it, when we scroll down?
Well, but there has been an announcement on that before of the naming. So if you're going to scroll down, those will stay, okay, in SharePoint list. And so we'll get that kind of same functionality that you might use in Excel when you're entering in data.
Freeze pane. That
freeze pane of the top row and first column. So just think about that when you're designing your list. What is your first column? If it's going to be a wide list, you may not know if it's going to be a wide list yet. So maybe put that most important descriptive column to be first. Rolling out targeted release early July to late July, and then standard late July to early September. So they're not giving a gap between targeted and standard release, as we talked about in the previous message, but they're giving a wide range of when it's going to roll out to standard release. From late July to September, end of September, so like over 2 months, I know that a lot of organizations don't like that. They want to know when things are coming to their tenant, but that'll be one of those things we don't know exactly.
All right. Next one we're going to cover off, add shortcuts to shared folders in your OneDrive in public preview. And that is scroll up a little bit there because we don't have sticky scrollies within the message center. MC217339. And when I was talking about this with Daniel before the show, it felt familiar. This message felt familiar, like we talked about this feature or functionality. So I turned to the chat room and say, does this sound familiar to you? If you do remember something like this, just chime in there, because this is, if I can make a side comment, another symptom of how busy and how much change we see, that we start thinking, is this like a deja vu of some kind of thing, where I feel like I've seen this message before, and or maybe I've had a premonition of us getting this feature. I don't know. So what is it? Okay, coming back on task. It is about if you have folders that have been shared with you, colleagues, people that have shared a document, shared something, but shared folders in particular, these will appear in the shared space within OneDrive. And I don't know, there's a few people that probably still are getting used to this. OneDrive is your new explorer in the cloud. Think of that. It's not just a place where it's synchronizing your documents. It's also a central place to find what's been shared with you, what you've worked on recently, things to discover, and all your shared libraries. So with that convenience, someone shared a folder with you. You can create a shortcut to that folder, and it synchronizes in your My Files. So rather than having to go to the folder within a web browser, you can synchronize a shortcut down to your desktop, which will allow you to open up that shared folder that someone shared with you. It's going to appear as a link rather than just a folder, but when you go to the OneDrive view of things, you are going to see a bit more information that it's a folder, it was shared by this person, and yeah, that'll be quite a useful view. So that is public preview, slowly rolling out late July, and we'll move from public preview to general availability end of September. Again, we're seeing that gap, which again is not a bad thing. Is there much more to say about this? Well, it does talk a little about how this impacts the mobile experience. Users will be able to access these shortcuts on the web, and the sync app, and your OneDrive, Android app, and Teams. But iOS support will be coming a few months later.
Right. Yep.
But yeah, topsy turvy thing again, eh? Of which platform gets what first.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think we're seeing a little bit of a shift with Android and iOS comparison with functionality from Microsoft, because mostly, I think usage. I think more and more people are using Android, and I think it is competing. You know, the percentages I think are leveling out. But I think what Microsoft is doing here and doing a good job of is pointing that out. They told us specifically this is not all mobile, and when iOS is coming, so that's good. So when is it being rolled out?
Oh yeah, no, I think I covered that off earlier. Oh. So yeah, rolling out late July and in September. There is one other thing there that nice to see. They let you know that if you want to opt out of this experience, then you do have a PowerShell command to disable add shortcuts to OneDrive $true. Right. Our next message is, it's another SharePoint.
SharePoint.
Lists of libraries, web parts.
I'm excited about this one. This is SharePoint lists and libraries web part consume dynamic data. Yay, dynamic data. So this is MC217382. So back in the olden days, go back with me. Back in the olden days.
Do I play a banjo in the background?
Why are you picking on a banjo?
It just feels like an old instrument. Anyway.
Oh, okay. So back in the old days, maybe a harmonica would be, anyway, when we all had to, you know, walk to school barefoot, uphill both ways, everybody in the snow, SharePoint allowed for connected web parts, right? So solution creators could use this to build out nice, I'm going to do quote unquote systems using SharePoint data. So this, you know, they put web parts on a page. When the user clicked on a certain list item on a web part, it would filter out other items on the page and building out a system, you know, whether that was easily finding information or so that you could just display it in a filtering fashion, or if it was, I want to find information easier. So it's more of a refiner kind of functionality that you might in search, you know, see. So this update is all about bringing some of those features into the modern, if you remember, modern is now, hashtag, into the modern SharePoint world. Users will be able to select information from one web part and then have another web part consume that dynamic data and be able to filter based upon that information. So the rollout is targeted for mid-July, targeted tenants mid-July, and then standard completed by end of July. So very quick. This is not one of those announcements that have any sort of, they're pretty confident this is going to work well. So they're not going to have any time frame in between target and standard. But I'm excited about this one because I think it does enable more functionality for solution creators. And when I say solution creators, it generally is those group of people that are either users, power users that just want to, you know, make something, create something that is helpful for themselves or others to just get the job done. And it includes IT people who are maybe not developers, but want to use the tools to do the same thing, right? To solve a problem. And so those solution creators, I think it's just another tool in their tool belt to be able to, you know, create a one-page application, as it were, right? Adding web parts to a page and allowing users to interact with that content, to find content so they can edit it or just display it in a way that is easy for them. So anyway, I'm excited about this one too.
All right. Another step too in bringing more classic to modern to now.
Modern is definitely now.
All right, modern is now. We're all modern people. My last one is in a space that a lot of people know I like to work in. In fact, SharePoint spaces. 360 image tours with annotations. Now I know this is a special interest field for me, in that it's still not widely used, or the value isn't seen so much for a lot of orgs. But SharePoint Spaces, it was talked about coming into preview a month or so back, and I kind of forgot about it actually, because the message was there and it was, you know, it's going to be delivered soon. So here's some new functionality added to it. This is MC217384. I do want to try and take a quick look at Spaces and have a look at it now on screen. We'll just see how this impacts the stream. Because let's just say that now that it's in public preview and I don't have to be all secret squirrel about it, it was quite intensive on the old browser. So I've thrown this space into a learning pathway site, and I've just called this page immersive learning. Now SharePoint spaces are just a way to there we go, now people can see it. SharePoint spaces are just a way to reframe the content that you might have in your existing SharePoint site collection. So we're not sort of traveling to a completely different site collection. It's just, here's a sphere and I can, you know, go around and check this stuff out and can change a few things about it. Now it does feel like kind of quite limited, given that we were seeing spaces, I think it was about at least 2 years ago, at SharePoint conference or whatever they called it back then. Anyway, so we've got those web parts on people and org structures, and that you can click on a PowerPoint and go, ooh, ah, look at this. You don't actually go into it with 360 experience, but the real experience for 360 is in video models, 3D models, and 3D pictures. So you've got your model there, and I can go, look, here's a surface. This update that we're talking about, I don't have a 360 picture here in today, but the goal here is to, let's just say that this interview here between Mark and myself,
hey, this is Daryl Webster from Adopt and Embrace, and I'm
was done as a picture, and there's going to be the ability to add annotations and link pictures to each other. So what I liked about doing these interviews with different people at Microsoft when we were there at MVP Summit over a year ago was I wanted to be able to bring people to the experience of going to campus. And that's the goal with the capability of Spaces, is that for a new recruit, someone coming in, or maybe you want to help people get a fuller appreciation of another area of the business, you can give them these experiences without them actually having to travel there. This update allows, or will allow us to take pictures and link them together, have annotations inside them, so you can say, oh, look, here is the soccer field at Microsoft Commons, and that you could probably, well, you can, guide people through on a 360 tour, where I can put like a little waypoint here and say, okay, click there, and it'll load the next image. A bit like we can do that within Google Maps and taking the 360 view of things there. So it's not available today. Getting back to that message itself. Yes, good. It will be rolling out to targeted tenants mid-July 2020, and rolling out to all tenants mid to late July 2020. And at the moment, SharePoint Spaces is something that you will need to turn on per site collection to make it available and create a space so you can see that content.
Well, what's interesting, and I'll probably give some feedback on this, because let me take a step back and let you know. You know, you talked about like onboarding or, giving people that experience within an organization of, you know, walking around a campus, or you can do this in a building, right, an office building. But I could see this also being a great benefit to manufacturing. I worked at a textile plant back in the day, and we had several opportunities where we needed to re-educate because we changed things on the line, or we're implementing new things and re-educate people. So it would be a great experience to have sit people down to see the new experience and have annotations and explanations and go through it before they go into the line, where there's safety hazards. They can't, yes, they're going to have to go on the line and understand what the process is and get hands on. Yes, they're going to have to do that. But removing the safety hazards and getting them to learn a little bit more about it before they get there, I think is a huge benefit and would be fantastic. I think one thing that I would like to see, though, that is not called out here, and maybe it's going to be there, but maybe not, is actually links. Rather than, we're going to be able to link to include in our annotations text, images, video, files like Office and PDFs. But I'd like to link to a form to, you know, hey, the demonstration you gave for those in the podcast, he was showing the soccer field on Microsoft Commons. Well, what if I want to sign up and register and reserve it? Or something. It would be great to have a link to a form to be able to fill that out. You know, and not just that, for other things too. So I'd like to see some additional functionality that I think would be easy enough to do. If you're going to provide a link, why not a link to something else? But
yeah, I expect that with a bit of work, you'll see some more of these web parts become 360 aware, and that you can use them within that space. And look, it's encouraging to me to see that after years of optimizing the experience and making it far easier to work with. I mean, I tell you, early days, it was like you had to have airplane controls and think of things up and down and drag things in the opposite direction. So a lot of improvements. And in fact, as I was showing you that demo, I was looking at the CPU on my computer and how it didn't really impact the stream. So they've done a lot of work to it. Yeah, I see. Yeah. There's potential, but it's still about how do we let people know and see, you know, what that is. And the ability to give feedback when you're on this 360 tour. Imagine being able to take someone through to a new building that the whole company is going to be going to, and you want to get feedback and some input from your company so you can take them there without really taking them there. And that form would be great. Anyway, that's like you say, it's a passion thing for me. So I'm charging my 360 camera right now so I can take it to work. And I'm thinking about how it can improve learning experiences with our modern workplace and the technology we use.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. That kind of wraps our show. And remember to go out to the June poll. Do it right now, please. Give us your input, because we're going to open it up to the masses. So we'd love to have put more emphasis on your input. So messagecenter.show/June poll. Thank you, everyone, for watching. And thank you for those in the chat and participating. And we will catch you next week. Bye-bye for now.
Bye for now.